That's certainly a good lesson for us. And in light of tonight, we're focusing on security around the building and our ministries. And ultimately, we trust in the Lord. Amen. And he's the one who watches over us and protects us. But he has given us a brain. Amen. And he has given us a spirit of discernment. And so we want to strive to do all that we can to ensure that as people come here, we're safe. And Dale Breed is one of our deacons. He is involved in security and has been involved with security over the years. And so he's going to come and give us a presentation about some things we need to be mindful of, things we need to be aware of, and just getting started and get established a security team, if you will, and also just a security approach in each and every week when we come into church. One thing for sure, on Sundays, we are very vulnerable. When you think of all the doors and all the entrances and different times that people are coming and going, and so we really do need to start putting some things in place to help us to be more efficient in making sure that everyone is protected. So Dale, why don't you come and share what you have for us. And he gave us a great summary of security in the deacons meeting the other night. We appreciate him. God bless you, Dale.
Thank you. Oops, I broke it. Look at that. Technology and I get along somewhat. So, okay, those of you who have been in some of my classes, those who are in my Sunday school class, you know I like PowerPoint, okay? So it's 85 slides today, if you're ready. So, first, I want to say, when we moved from Indiana to here, that was like a huge decision for us. We were embedded out there. And then we decided to move to New Jersey. Sherry's family's from here. And so I started doing my research. Got to find a church before you move. You got to find your church before you get there. That's where you decide where to go based on your church. So I Facebook stalked you. You would be shocked what you put on Facebook. I looked about 4 or 5 different churches, and then I would find people who followed that church's website, or Facebook page, sorry, and then I would go to their Facebook page, and if their Facebook page was like, whoa, compared to the church one, I thought, okay, that's a church that says this, but the people are living like this, I don't want to go there. So based on your Facebook pages, based on the church's website, pretty much I had already determined before we moved out here and even visited once, this was going to be our church. Primarily, I picked this church because of what's being done right here at this pulpit. Amen. Okay. Now, we'd been in church for a long time. 30-plus years we'd been in church. Church was a focal point of our life. That's why we chose this church. Most people that visit here, that's not the reason they came. They're not going to pick a church because of the pulpit. They're going to pick a church because of you and you asked them to come. So when I look at this security system, this idea, it's like, okay, I'm not, okay, First Baptist Church, Ocean County Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church, what are you going to draw? Baptist. And people that Baptist invite. So this needs to be geared towards visitors, because pretty much we know who's here. Now, yes, you get the occasional person who, for whatever reason, from within. But most of the things that have happened security-related are not people who are members. They're associated with the church. They know people in the church, but they're not the general members of the population. So the whole idea, the premise of this is, how do we deal with visitors? So a little about my security background. I got hired March of 1988. And pretty much from that point on, I've always been involved in security in some fashion. I met my wife on security, so I'm very glad for security. We call our kids security babies because the security department and the money I made there, that paid for them. Our house was a security house. Pretty much, I have been security. If you cut me, I bleed blue. And it's not, I'm sorry, it's not law enforcement blue. It's security blue. So I started as a greeter at the college, screening people as they came in, checking IDs. You get to see the worst of people when they forget their IDs, especially the staff members. That was great. I worked uniform. Uniform out there was checking doors on midnight, making sure all the doors were closed because we didn't have alarm systems in the 80s. We had door checkers, and I was a door checker. Then I got put on staff, payroll, and scheduling. Then I went into training. Training is what really clicked with me as far as I like security. I'm not a policeman. I have never been a policeman. I went to Pensacola to be a policeman, and something the criminal justice instructor said literally blew my mind as a Christian. He said, the pastor of a church and a policeman basically are the same. I went, what? He said, everything revolves around an incident. The pastor tries to prevent that incident. The police clean it up. And I thought, well, why am I on the wrong end of this deal? Okay, if a pastor or a Christian worker can teach something to prevent this, I don't want the police coming to my house to handle a domestic. I need to marry the right person. I need to teach people to marry the right person. I need to teach people how to live. So the whole premise of this is, I'm a security guard. I don't like responding to problems. I like preventing them, and that's a whole different lesson. So let's jump into this. Psalm 46, 1 through 11. And let's ask God to bless our service. Lord, we thank you for this day. I pray that you'd be with us. Give us the heart and the ears to listen, Lord, and I pray that you give me the right words to speak. Pray that you'd be with us, and Lord, pray that you'd be with those families tonight that are hurting, especially in Texas, that you would bless them. This is one of their first Sundays open since the incident, Lord, and I pray that you'd be with them, give them peace and strength, Lord. Help them to lean on you and trust on you, Lord, and I pray that you would give us a good service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away in the midst of the sea, through the waters thereof roar and be troubled, through the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. It's a musical term. I don't do music, so it's a musical term. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. Kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Those are like tanks and M16s in today's weaponizing. Those would be tanks, M16s, rocket launchers, Tomahawk missiles, and God like just breaks them in half. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. God is our refuge. God takes care of us. As we go through this, if you get down into the details, you're going to go, whoa, everything's crazy. Just remember, God is with us. How many of you have a car insurance? Okay, the title of this is Faith versus Fear. How many have health insurance? How many have life insurance? Okay, you don't trust God. Right? Okay, I've had unsaved people discuss the greater issues of having security at a church. And they're like, don't you trust God? And finally, I came up with the right answer. Yes, but I don't trust you. So that's the whole issue. We do trust God. But God, we'll see some examples here where God says, get prepared. Okay, Ephesians 6, 5, 16, redeeming the debt. That chandelier's like right in the way. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. God acknowledges the fact the days are evil. It's sin. Man has a free will. Man basically, in his heart of hearts, will choose sin. Therefore, we need to be prepared for when a person does choose sin and what we're going to do about it. Okay, I went back to 2009. This is one incident per year. 2009, this one was close to where I was in Indiana, and it shook up our pastor. He pulled us in, and he goes, what would have happened if that had happened here? And I looked at him, and I go, you'd probably been shot. He's like, what? I go, he walked down the center aisle, he got halfway down, and he shot the pastor. Now, stories conflict a little bit, but eyewitnesses say he would run skits in his church services as part of illustrations. And so this guy walks down the aisle, he pulls out a gun, the pastor holds up his Bible, and he shoots the Bible, and it literally pages came out. And so the people thought it was a skit initially. And so he starts yelling, "It's real, it's real," and he starts to run off the pulpit. The guy gets two more shots off. No, I'm sorry. He goes down and towards the shooter. Gun jams in the struggle. He pulls out a knife. Parishioners jump on him, and they capture him. I can't read it. That small print there says, in 2015, 6 years later, he is found not guilty by reason of insanity. He was a schizophrenic. At that moment, at that time, the guy had no idea what he was doing. They still to this day do not know why he picked that church or that pastor. He had no association, no previous dealings, no counseling, nothing with that pastor. So, sorry, all these are focused at the pulpit, so most of them are. Man armed with a shotgun and a sword shot in front of the church. Not a lot of details on this one. He just showed up at the church. Police were called and ended up in a shootout. The guy had a shotgun and a sword. So they don't know if he was going to go into the church, if he was passing by the church, if he got there and lost his nerve. They don't know. But it happened outside in the parking lot. 2012, gunman shoots a volunteer leading a prayer service. It wasn't even the pastor. It was just some volunteer said, "Hey, let's get together and pray." Guy walks in, shoots a volunteer. Oh, I'm sorry. Key to this all is Illinois, Utah, Atlanta, Ohio. Man shoots his father at an Easter service. Easter Sunday, guy walks in, finds his dad, shoots his dad, people disarm him, he goes to jail. Alabama, 2015, man shoots girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, and pastor and one other. He goes in there and says, "We broke up, it's your fault," and just starts shooting. Philadelphia, PA, 2016, man shoots fellow congregant. They had been arguing outside of church, it carried into church, and one guy brought a gun to church. Shooter kills 25. This was November 5th this year. Reports are he went around the church building, started shooting into the building, ended up killing 25 people. And then an armed citizen, not even a church member, ended up shooting him. And then the guy shot himself in his car. We realized he wasn't going to get away. So bad things happen. This is just one per year. And these are what they call deadly force incidences. This doesn't include hand assaults, robberies, vandalism. This is just the newsworthy stuff. Unfortunately, it happens so often now, they all don't make the news. So it's like, it's out there. It is out there. It is becoming more and more prevalent. I read one statistic where there have been more church incidences than school incidences. The thought process is we have put a lot of effort into curbing, they call it school violence, into officer-friendly, school resource officers, locking the doors, training the teachers, which has early warning signs, which has curbed the violence at the schools, but we're not applying it to churches. Why? Well, you're supposed to trust God. 1,617, these are statistics from 1999 to 2017, mostly 16. 1,600 deadly force incidences, domestics, robberies, personal conflicts, 1,466 casualties. That someone was injured or killed at a church in those years. 1,100 of them occurred outside. The rest occurred inside. Most of them occurred outside, and there's a reason for that. We'll get to that. Those are the different incidences per year. Notice the trend. It went up significantly from 2014 to 2015. Part of that is they started a database to record stuff. Those previous years, not everything got put into that information base. So it just keeps growing and growing. Why? We're getting closer to the end. I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but it's an unsaved world. What do you expect? They're going to act like unsaved people. Sin is getting worse and worse. So we as Christians need to kind of keep that in mind. It's not that person, it's the sin. It's sin. It's Satan that's doing this. Okay, 22% of the churches were non-denominational. 22% were Baptist. We're an emotional bunch. 14% were Catholic. Now, I think part of that is because Catholics and Baptists represent, those top three represent the three largest churches out there. So just sheer percentages is going to say it's going to happen at one of those places. All the other ones are 7%, Methodist, Episcopalian, whatever. They are a lot less. So we are in the top three, top two of likelihood just based on our name. And there are people who choose because of a name. Okay. These are things that I have actually dealt with in my experience. Public disturbances, often. We had a guy disrupt a funeral. He thought it was a church service. Brother House's funeral. Place is packed. Guy comes down the center aisle. Where's the pastor? You could tell he's drunk. He's bouncing off the pews. We had to drag him out. The police liked Brother Hiles, so they were not kind to that young man. We had a guy hit by a train right outside the church on church property. We had to file a restraining order against Jesus. Guy was off his medicine. He thought he was Jesus. Then he thought he was one of the horsemen from Revelation. He comes to church, walks down the center aisle, starts trying to give a message to Brother Hiles. And we're like, not today. And so we walked him out. And later, when he got back on his medicine, he's like, I was wrong. I'm so sorry. So they're out there. We've had bomb threats. We had fires in the buildings, nursery and Sunday school incidences. This is supposed to be eye-opening. We've had babies die out there in the nurseries from SIDS. We had a lady, guard doing his rounds. He found a lady after Sunday school. He goes, ma'am, the buses are leaving. You need to go. Ma'am, she had passed away in Sunday school. They thought, the other people, when they left, they thought she was taking a nap because she's older, she was tired, And so, at that point, it's like, ooh, we've never had that before. What do you do? So that was, all that's happened. Now, Toms River is actually bigger than most of the places all these things happened. Toms River is a big place. Ocean County Baptist Church, if you type churches, Toms River, we pop up on the internet. So the idea is if someone's looking to do something in Toms River, we are going to pop up as an option. And we are a larger area. You have three high schools. That just blew my mind when I moved here. Toms River has three high schools. My hometown was pretty big, and we had one big high school, and then you got three big high schools. I asked my wife, how do you guys pick a football team? Each one has their own team. I'm like, really? Toms River has three football teams? That's huge. So most of the churches, most of the towns that all those previous incidences happened were smaller, if not half the size of Toms River or this church. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I like taking this point to say, God's still in control. Amen. Okay? He has given us he has not given us a spirit of fear. Don't be afraid. Be mindful. Be thinking. Be aware of what's going on. And of love. While we're doing security, we're supposed to still show the love of Christ. And of a sound mind. We got to think before we react. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. There is evil out there. I think I've established that, right? There is evil out there. And evil could walk through that door at any given time. Foreseeth the evil and hideth, but the simple pass on and are punished. If we don't, as the ostrich, take our heads out of the sand, we're not ready. And I think God will hold us accountable for that if we're not prepared. I think living by faith is doing everything that we can, and God takes up the slack. God's going to bless our efforts, and they might be inadequate. God's going to make up that difference. But if we sit there and do nothing, God can't work with it. Okay? I tell my math students all the time, where's your work? I don't know how to do it. Where's your work? I can't change your thinking if I don't know what you're thinking. Show me what you're doing. Then I can help change your direction. God's like, do something. Then I can, it's like trying to steer a car that's not moving. You can turn that wheel all you want. You're not going anywhere. And God says, get the car rolling, and then I'll give you directions on how to get there. So, okay, prudent and prepared. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. I got to get going here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, Noah followed God's plan. Noah found grace in God's sight. I would like to think that when God looks down from heaven, he says, Ocean County Baptist, you find grace. I look down at you, and I say, okay, you're doing your best. You're living for the Lord. You find grace in my sight in this evil world. Noah walked with God. Noah was warned of God. Sounds like us, you know, there's evil things out there, we're being warned. Noah was given a plan. We're going to give a plan tonight. Noah followed the plan. So Noah had faith in God, but he still had a plan. Yeah. Noah was saved. Noah was saved from a flood. And God said, here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. Now, if Noah hadn't followed the plan, we wouldn't be here today. And when Abraham, that's Noah, Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. Lot had been captured by a bunch of different armies. So now Lot, they call him his brother here, nephew, was captured. And so Abraham says, not my family. Basically, Abraham owned a ranch. If you think about it, he had cattle and this, he had ranch hands. Abraham and Lot had separated because the flocks had gotten so big, they had to separate and split the water rights. So Abraham had a ranch. Abraham had armed his, trained his servants. There's a ranch hand. I think of John Wayne and like those old-time movies. They're not that old, though, where he is the ranch hand and he hires people and they live in the bunkhouse and they're all got their six shooters and they're riding the range and fixing the fences and keeping away the cattle rustlers. That was Abraham. Abraham was John Wayne. You didn't know that, did you, before you came to church tonight? Abraham was prepared to protect his family and his property. They didn't have police departments back then. Abraham's police department was his ranch hands, and he had trained them and armed them. Why? Just in case. So Abraham used something that he had trained for over here, and he's like, hey, get your stuff. We're going to go get Lot. And I can just see all these ranch hands going, yeah, let's go. So they went and captured Lot and brought him back. We're at the Last Supper. Jesus is telling them about the end. And they said to the Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Two swords was enough. Now, unfortunately, we're at the Last Supper. Someone's going to betray Christ. He just said that. So someone is a secret agent in that group. Jesus had escaped death at several different times. The disciples were there, and Jesus snuck out through the crowds. The disciples are like, hey, someone's going to try and kill Jesus again. They armed themselves with permission from Jesus. They said, hey, you know, someone's going to betray you, and you've been tried to be killed before, and there's two swords over there. And Jesus is like, okay, fine. Although Peter was not well trained. I think he swung to cut the guy's head off, and he just got an ear. Jesus stopped him because the will of God at that point was for Jesus to go to the cross. And they were an instrument for that. But he let Peter take the swing. He fixed the guy's ear. Peter was one of Jesus' personal bodyguards, and he took that swing. Well trained. Peter was not well trained. He was prepared, but he wasn't trained. Okay. Nehemiah goes back to rebuild the wall, and they're all working in one hand, and with the other hand, they held a weapon. They ran into different people in the area saying, we don't want you to build that wall. And they would come and try and tear it down while they were working. So Nehemiah's like, we're going to finish that wall. And they did in 52 days. Amazing work. They finished the wall. And so Nehemiah was prepared. They had opposition. Nehemiah had them protect themselves while working. We're not going to issue guns when you come to church, by the way. So don't think that. But Nehemiah was armed while they were working. Pharaoh, I threw this one after this morning's sermon. I don't know why this just popped into my head. Pharaoh was warned of an upcoming famine. He's like, you know what? We got to get ready for this. And he put a man in charge named Joseph. And literally, Joseph probably saved the known world at that time from this famine. And Pharaoh's like, evil's coming. So Pharaoh, Joseph, you figure out what to do and we'll do what you say. Noah's prepared for a natural disaster. Okay? I haven't, but you have lived through hurricanes. And so you pretty much have an idea what to do with hurricanes. Ask me about tornadoes, I can tell you about those. So we need to be ready for a natural disaster with our program. We need to be ready for a hostage situation. Abraham was prepared to handle a hostage situation. Nehemiah was prepared for workplace violence. They were working and people were coming and doing stuff with their little wall. And they're like, no. That little thing says what you do in the next, 10 seconds? 15 to 30 seconds will determine the outcome. That's how fast things happen. Whatever happens is going to be because of what we, a church, do, not what the police do. If they get here in 3 minutes, that's incredible response time. But it's over. Usually it's over, or the worst of it's over. My job as security, in my mind, is to minimize damage. I'm not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it. It's going to start. How fast we stop it will minimize the amount of damage. That is the whole premise in the back of my mind. Tonight you're getting a dose of reality, sorry. Peter was prepared for a personal assault. He's like, hey, we're going into a dangerous situation. Perhaps we should arm ourselves. Okay, Judges. Now here's a guy that wasn't prepared. Ehud put forth a left hand and took the dagger, and he killed Eglon. Eglon was not prepared. Eglon dismissed his guards. They had searched him on his way in, but they searched for a right-handed guy, not a left-handed guy, and so Eglon the king was dead because his security system was inadequate. Okay, Ocean County Baptist Church, are we ready? Are we faithful? Are we fearful? Are we prepared? I think the more prepared we are, the less fearful we will be. The less fearful we are, the easier it is to move forward. Now, are we ready for our terrible day? That is off the internet. If something were to happen here, that picture with maybe a police line across it would appear on the news. That would be our terrible day. Those other pictures, those were news clips. So if anything were to happen here, that would probably be what they would show on the 6 o'clock news or 24/7 on CNN or however you want to look at the news. Okay, now all that was introduction. Tonight, to the meat of what's going on. Okay, what can you do? If you're of my mindset, it's not if, but when it happens. Okay, I've been doing this now for 30 years. I have been in security for 30 years. I started out as, I started out at Pensacola, crossing kids for school. But I started out in a church ministry security department. All my security training has come about because of church mentality. I don't want to put a policeman in the front yard. That'll scare visitors away. I don't want to put an armed guard at the front door to greet you. That'll scare visitors away. Okay? Brother Hiles, we had a huge church. Brother Hiles did not want uniforms in the auditorium ever. Ever. We're talking during the offering. We had a bomb threat. We had to pull security guards out of the service to go through the service because he didn't want uniforms walking around. As soon as you see a uniform, it's like, ooh, what's going on? And we don't want that. We want a friendly atmosphere. So what can you do? Well, number one, just be aware of what's going on. Okay? Be aware of visitors. Talk to them. They don't bite. Talk to visitors. Why are you here? How you doing? Where are you from? Oh, I'm from California. Wow, that's a long trip. There's a lot of things you can say to get the introduction going. If you see something, say something. I wrote red flags and Jiminy Cricket. God gave you a conscience. Do not live by your conscience. I don't believe that. I believe you live by this book. Okay? But God gave you a conscience. Don't violate your conscience when you're doing stuff. That's like a little mechanism God gave you. If you see something like, ooh, that looks wrong. Hello, that's your conscience talking. Go talk to somebody. We had an incident out there and a bunch of us got together and we're like, something's off with this guy. Have you noticed this? And so we got together and then we went to our boss and then he talked to him and then it did escalate into something very bad. And we're like, why didn't we see that earlier? Well, we did. It's just like, should I say something? Yes. Yes. Talk to somebody. Now, if you talk to the person sitting next to you, probably not a lot's going to get done about that. We tend to call that gossip. If you talk to a leader and say, hey, I'm a little concerned about this, you shoot it up the ladder towards God, that's not gossip. That's a concern. Okay, so red flags, you see something like, hey, you know, there's somebody over there that shouldn't be, or there's someone hanging around the nursery, or like there's a car going around the parking lot 3 or 4 times. How many of you use GPS on your phones? How many have gotten lost on GPS on your phones? Hey, that person circling the parking lot may or may not be up to no good. They may be trying to figure out their GPS. But say something. Get somebody else involved. Okay, what is the purpose of a church? To proclaim Jesus Christ. Salvation to the unsaved, strength in the saved. That is the purpose of this church. We are the church. When we go out and about, we are representing Christ. We are the church. In here, we come to get renewed, refreshed, and get doctrine. Visitors come here to hear the gospel. That is the pulpit. This should be the center focus. In my mind, this should be the platform. This should be the center of all security systems. Some churches focus on the nurseries. Some focus on the parking lot. I think a security system should focus on the pulpit. Purpose of the church is fulfilled in the preaching from the pulpit, the preaching and teaching. Okay, security and safety must not hinder that purpose. 9/11 brought a lot of changes to airports. What's the purpose of an airport? To fly people in and out efficiently. 9/11 changed that. It is no longer efficient to go through the airport. We don't want that here. We don't want people standing in line to get through a metal detector to come to church. We may get to that point someday. We don't know. But the idea is whatever we do cannot hinder the pulpit. It should promote the pulpit. Whatever security is done should be have the pulpit in the back of the mind, the Bible, the preaching and teaching. Okay? Security and a safety plan should be organized and deputized. I'm going to skip the organized part. Deputized, that's volunteers and members working it. Initially, what we want to do is secure the gym doors. Okay, sorry, this is a security term. I like choke points. Military calls them checkpoints. In church, we're going to call them greeter points. Okay? Controlled greeter points. The main church lobby and the school lobby are going to be the only two ways into this auditorium. And there's going to be somewhere to greet you. All right. Hospitality begins in the parking lot. We want people in the parking lot greeting people as they park. Most incidences occurred where? Outside the building. Why? Nobody saw them. I don't want the guys in the parking lot going, I'm John Wayne, I'm going to stop everything. No, you're there to report everything, okay? We're not going to, I want you to help people park. I want you to cross the street. To me, this is a great spot. If you're Mr., I don't want to talk to anybody. That's perfect. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Stop the cars. Come on, folks. Okay, that's a parking lot greeter. And then you see some guy, it's 90 degrees out. He's got a big old winter coat, bulky, walking in. You need to tell somebody about that one. That's a little off, okay? So we're going to give training to all these spots. Tonight's just to introduce you to these spots. Help the crosswalk, greet everybody, meet visitors, direct towards the auditorium. You're directing from the parking lot to the pulpit. You're part of the service. You are pushing people towards the pulpit. You are pushing people towards the cross. That's the mentality that I want church security to have. Now, in the back of your mind, you're going, I'm glad you're here, but why are you here? Okay, now we're going to go to the lobby greeters. We already have a system set up out here for lobby greeters. We're going to add the school office area so that people can come in that door and come in the auditorium here. Sunday school teachers coming early to set up their classes. They go to second service. They can still get in there without help from walking through the back of the auditorium. So now, again, greet everybody, meet and talk with visitors. That post, you're going to want to talk a little more with visitors. Find out how many kids, where Sunday school, you're helping them get acclimated to the church system. Direct towards the auditorium, direct them towards the pulpit, you're directing them towards the cross. And again, I'm glad you're here, but why are you here? Now they run into two people. Ushers. Ushers need to be super friendly. You need to have a personality that will draw information out of people. You greet everyone. Meet and talk to visitors. Direct them to a good seat. Don't put them behind someone who's like 6 foot and huge. They can't see. You're an usher. You know where people sit. Okay? Direct them to a good seat. Now, I would not recommend putting a visitor on the front row. That's just very uncomfortable for visitors. Direct them to the pulpit. That's the pulpit. Choir sits back there. There are people who have never been to church before. They don't know what those seats are for. They don't know why those guys are in the back. Okay, this is where you get a chance to explain church. Now, you're going to do that about 100 times in a year. That's their first time. So keep that in mind. You're going to direct to a good seat, direct them to the pulpit. And again, I'm glad you're here, but why are you here? They're going to, as a visitor, oh, getting ahead of myself, you, Just sitting in the pew, sitting there, usher sits a visitor down next to you. Ushers know who your friendly people are. And you're going to put them down and you're going to say, meet and talk with the visitors, direct towards the pulpit. Hey, preacher's coming out, the choir's coming out. And again, you as a church member are going to go, I'm glad you're here, but why are you here? What brings you to Ocean County Baptist Church? Do you know somebody here? Are you visiting from out of town? Did you see us on the internet? Did you find us? Oh, here's an archaic word, phone book. Okay, used to be when you were on vacation, you looked in a phone book for a church. If I am a visitor, I should have seen a smile out in the parking lot, a handshake and a smile in the lobby. When I get to the auditorium, I'm greeted by an usher. Welcome to, here's a pamphlet to fill out. We're glad you're here. And someone seated near me smiling. Okay, I should have at least 4 smiles by the time I get to my seat before the church service has even started. Even after the church services start, I get 3 of those. I'm late. I'm a visitor. I do not want to come in this building, but I promised Joe from work that I would be here, so I'm here. I feel obligated. I run into 3 smiling faces. That makes it a whole lot easier to get where? In the auditorium. Why? We're directing them towards the pulpit. Now, I don't know if you can see that very well. See the red circle? That's our first ring of influence. That's our first perimeter. If you want to talk security, that's our first line of defense. That is the parking lot guys. They are not there to stop anything. They're there to report it. Can you see that one? Okay. That is our second ring. Those are the 2 lobbies. We're getting more defined. We're funneling. Then we move to the auditorium. That's the ushers. That's you. That's the pulpit. That's the preaching of the gospel. That's where we're funneling everything to. If you are in the mindset, you know what? You shouldn't have church security. That's just, you're not trusting God. If you're of that mindset, and there are people like that, then don't look at it as church security. Look at it as a funneling system to the pulpit. You are a greeter. You're screening people, but you're not scary screening. You're not TSA. You're an usher. You're lobby. You don't make people take off their shoes to get in the auditorium. That would just be bad. And that's where the preaching happens. Okay. Each level will be trained accordingly. We will add different layers and different things to it as we progress. But basically, you're going to be friendly, meet and greet people, and figure out why they're here. If I'm a bad guy and I get, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Where are you from? We just became a hard target. I don't want to come here. I'm going to go find another church that's a soft target. The key to all this is in making this a hard target. Now, I hate to say it, but if the incident occurs in the parking lot, that's a good thing, as opposed to in here right now. If I have greeters in the school auditorium, in the school lobby, and we hear something over there, and we get communicated that, hey, it's going down now in the lobby. Guess where you're going? Away from it. Minimize the damage. Okay, when you get to heaven, God's going to look at you and go, you know, I was glad you were in the lobby because all these other people are still there doing my work. So our job is to be friendly, to meet and greet, safe and secure without losing friends. I've been to churches where they have been very security-minded, and they wanted to tune up, and I'm like, your people need to lighten up. You know, hey, what are you doing here? It's like, I don't want to go to that church. Okay, and a good usher, a good lobby person will move distractions before they get into the auditorium. It will remove fear from the service. People worry about their cars. People, especially with the news today, they're sitting here going, this is a church service. And when they see friendly, 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 that kind of sets them at ease. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Unfortunately, in my mind, with my experience, no. If a man can walk up and sit on that platform during the service, we're not ready. Okay, how many of you were here and don't raise your hands. This is a rhetorical question. How many were here and thought, wonder what he's doing? Somebody needs to do something. You are somebody. That was a big thing in the 80s. You are somebody. Be proud of yourself. You are somebody. When somebody should do something, that's you. Okay, most importantly, are we prepared to meet God? Are we ready for the great white throne judgment? Are we ready for the judgment seat of Christ? Are we saved? If we are not prepared for eternity, then what we're talking about doesn't mean anything. If we haven't trusted Christ as our Savior, If you're here tonight and you're a visitor and you heard we're doing church security and you're like, oh, I'm interested in church security, you know what? You're not, I don't want you on my team. I want you to sit in a service, hear the preaching, and get saved, okay? Church security is a volunteer-type ministry. Ushers, greeters. Now, a great pastor once said, I will not use my people to build my work. I will use my work to build my people. If you are only available one service a week, I don't want you on the team. I want you in the auditorium. The purpose of the church is the pulpit. And if I pull you out of your only church service, that defeats the purpose of the pulpit. I want you under the preaching. And there will be a scheduling and type stuff. So, but the idea is, number one, are we prepared for our personal future? Are we prepared for the next news event to happen here? Are we ready for the next visitor who parks in the parking lot? This system, I believe, is more visitor-geared to create a friendly atmosphere. The people in it are trained for security. The visitors don't know that. If you're a visitor, I'm sorry, you got this tonight. Are you ready to volunteer to help direct people to the pulpit? And there is a place for you. I don't care if you're the shyest person out there. You don't want to talk to anybody. I can find a spot for you. I will put you in a spot. You will be part of the system. And when we get to heaven, we will never know until we get there the influence a smile had in the parking lot. And I will end with this. We had a guy, kid go through our school out there, and he didn't fit into the normal Christian school HB kid. He graduated and went to a local Votech school, got involved in a motorcycle. I call it a gang. It's not like, you know, when you think motorcycle gang, these are just a bunch of 20-year-olds riding motorcycles. I mean, they wore their helmets, the leather jackets. Sometimes they didn't wear their helmets. Indiana, you don't have to. So he is riding his bike, him and about five of his buddies. He's zipping down the road, stoplight to stoplight. They get to a stoplight, and this lady's crossing the street, and his name was Jeff. Jeff looks over, he nods his head and smiles at her. Takes off, she hears this horrible accident. Somebody had cut through a long yellow, and it turned green. Jeff gunned it and hit the side of the car, went over the car, died instantly on the pavement. So funeral, you know, his family's well-liked, funeral was pretty big, and this lady comes to the funeral. She hears the service, and she hears the preaching of the gospel. And someone said, did you know the family? She's like, no. Did you know Jeff? Were you one of his teachers or something? No. And they're like, why are you here? She goes, because he smiled at me. And they're like, what? And she told him the story. She was the last person that he saw, and that was Jeff. He did not fit in. He didn't feel like he was supposed to be in full-time ministry, but he had a smile, and that lady's like, he smiled at me. And she says, I was the last person on this earth that he smiled to. And that got her to come to the service. You will never know what a handshake and a smile in that parking lot will do in this auditorium if we can direct them to the pulpit. Pastor Weigel.
The other night when we were in the deacons meeting, I came away from the meeting with two main thoughts, and I told Dale this. Two things. Number one, awareness. And number two, communication. And we're not a prison here. We don't have bars all over the place holding people out. We're a church, and we have the Lord with us, and we want to invite people to church. We want them to come in, hear the gospel, and get saved, and their life will be changed. And so we don't want to have security change who we are, but we do want security to help us be better in who we are. And we can do that if we're just aware. If something doesn't look right, then communicate. Just let us know. And we can be a help to that person, that individual, whoever it may be. And we'll be able to make the church and the school safer for everybody. If you're interested in being a part of a security team, we have a clipboard here. You can sign up, and you can put on there what area of ministry you would like to be in, or maybe a greeter, or you might want to be in a parking lot, or whatever it may be. We'll let you assign that. And we're going to be establishing some training time specifically. I did feel, though, it was necessary in light of the just present news of the shooting at the church in Texas that we needed to dedicate a service just to let you know what is going on and let you know where our heart is and what we're trying to do to be able to create a safe environment for people to come here and hear the gospel. God's blessing us in a great way. We have a lot of visitors, a lot of people come to our church, and there's a lot of people getting saved, and we have quite a few people being baptized this Sunday. And so we want to be able to help them grow in the Lord in a place where they can feel safe. Amen. And so if you'll pray with us about that, I know God will help us. He'll give us wisdom in doing that. Now tonight, the way I want to end the service, I want to just take a few minutes and just pray. Why don't we take some time right now? If you'd like to come and kneel on the altar, you can kneel and pray here. We need to pray for the people in our community, that we can reach them with the gospel. We need to pray that God will keep his hand on us. He is our refuge, so let's find safety in him. And let's ask the Lord to give us a spirit of wisdom. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. And God will give us an understanding heart to be able to know how to be effective in doing ministry in 2018. I can't believe we're all the way to 2018. It'll be upon us in just a few weeks. And so we want to do our very best. So let's just take a few moments to pray. And I'll close in prayer in a few moments. But if you'd like to come and kneel, come and kneel. If you want to pray in your pew, that'd be wonderful. Let's just go to God and let the Lord speak to our hearts and do something special. Amen. My Father, I'm so thankful that we can find our refuge in you. Lord, we're thankful, God, that you have blessed us with so many opportunities to be able to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for our bus ministry and band ministry, for our Sunday school and junior church and Awana, for our nursery, Lord, for soul winning, Lord, for discipleship, for our Christian school. Lord, you've opened so many doors for us to be able to minister to so many different people. And we understand the world that we live in. We can comprehend, Lord, the dangers that may be around. But, Lord, we're thankful that you have promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, you have told us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And, Lord, we give you praise. And we worship your name. And God, may we continue to have a heart of compassion and love for people. May we reach out to folks that we don't know, people that we might not even associate with, but they need to hear about Jesus Christ and the love of God. And I pray, Lord, we might be able to be more effective in being able to reach out into our community. And Lord, the theme you laid on my heart for the new year, reaching out. God, help us. Oh, God, help us to reach out to this world. Bring them to a point of understanding how precious life is and how good God is. And, Lord, we would be able to see the manifold grace of God being revealed and people's lives changed. Help us, Lord, as we strive to put together this security program. And Lord, I pray that you would impress upon each of our hearts, Lord, how we can be involved. And this is our church. We're a part of the body of Christ. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. So God, help us to be an encouragement and help to one another. And Lord, we'll give you praise as you continue to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you for being here tonight. I'm going to put this out in the foyer. And if you'd like to sign up to be a part of security or whatever, you can write that on there. And we just appreciate you being here tonight. I hope this was a profitable night for you and help you. Amen. God bless you.